morning, everyone. So it's been a little while since I've been up here, and then the last time I was up was, I think, Mother's Day, and I did a message on that instead of the series I've been on in Revelation, but we're back to Revelation this morning. I thought about doing more on chapter 10, but I decided to leave that and move on to chapter 11 in Revelation. And I always try to find an application, no matter what type of thing we're looking into, and I don't have a direct one for this one this morning, except to always read the Word of God and to remember that you can think of Revelation as the index of the Bible, and that if you want to understand all the things happening in there, you have to look through all of Scripture to discover what things mean and where things are going. So first I'm just going to read Revelation chapter 11, and then we'll get into the sermon this morning. In verse 1, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations are angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail." It's always interesting in Revelation, and it's concerning, it's scary stuff, but it makes me glad to know that the Lord is going to do this and make all things right, that he will be recognized for who he is as King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day. What I'm going to focus on this morning is just more of a Bible study, and we'll investigate who are these two witnesses. There's many theories, and I'll present a couple candidates today briefly. It's nothing I want or don't think we should be dogmatic about. It doesn't really matter who exactly these men are in terms of our faith, but it's good for us to look at the scripture and to examine it. And this will lead us through all sorts of scripture this morning. And the word of God is edifying, no matter what we find out. So, first off, we know that Jerusalem will be occupied by Gentile powers for 3.5 years. And we see that in verse 2 of what we just read. The Gentiles, the holy city, shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And if there's any question what city it is, you can read later when they were killed. In verse 8, their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So that's Jerusalem. And it's quite damning and shaming that the Lord is referring to Jerusalem as Sodom in Egypt. That can tell you, and we can see it in even Jerusalem today, in Israel today, the way they're behaving in a worldly manner. Verse 3, we can see these two witnesses shall be prophesying 1,203 score days. That's 1,260 days, which is exactly 3.5 years, using the 360-day year of the Jewish calendar. So I believe that it's the same time period that the Gentiles are treading the city underfoot is the same time that the witnesses are doing their witnessing. And we know that when they are killed, it happens in Jerusalem. We don't know if they're staying there the whole 3.5 years, but you might be able to deduce that, or they're sticking to Israel, and probably the focus is more on Israel at this time. But we can only speculate. Next, they're referred to as two olive trees. In verse 4, it says, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if you look up in your Bible, where is this other reference? Are there any other references to two olive trees? And you can find that in Zechariah chapter 4. And I'll read that chapter. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. And it says, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of a sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And then in verse 6, he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And it goes on to talk about how Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, at the time of Nehemiah, when they were going to rebuild the temple, that the Lord was going to do work through him and ensure that that gets done. And I'm going to skip down to, I'll say verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. And I'll get back to explaining that in a minute. Verse 11, then I answered I and said unto him, what are these 2 olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these 2 olive branches which through the 2 golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the 2 anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Notice that phrasing right at the end there. They stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And in Revelation 11, verse 4, it says, these are the 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. So you have a second confirmation there. You've got the olive trees, you've got the candlesticks, and you've got this phrasing, standing before the God of the earth, or stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So we're pretty confident that these are the same 2 individuals being referred to in Revelation 11. So, but first, before we dig into those two, who is the candlestick with seven lamps? Well, we have already seen earlier in Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, it says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which was, which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And then Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it says, and I turned, that is John, to see the voice that spake with me, and I being turned, so I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. In Revelation 3, verse 1, it says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. In Revelation 3, verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, it says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And to make it completely clear who this is, you can look in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So this candlestick with the seven on it is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the earth, the Lord of the whole earth. It's referring specifically to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, that person of the Godhead. In the reference in Zechariah, we can know that whoever these two witnesses were or are, these two anointed ones, they were already standing before the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of Zerubbabel, Zechariah, Haggai, Nehemiah, and Ezra. These were the days when the Babylonian captivity had just ended and they were rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. So from that, perhaps we could conclude, or we could guess, that maybe they're men from the Bible that we already know about from before that time. And in Revelation 11, verse 5, we see they have given by God some abilities. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And verse 6, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. For reasons which we'll see in Scripture, I'll introduce to you the first potential candidate, and I think this one is the most obvious and the best case can be made, and that would be Elijah. And we'll look at Scripture to determine that. First of all, we can see in Revelation 11, they have the power to shut heaven and to stop it from raining. And Elijah did that in his ministry when he was dealing with King Ahab and his rebellion. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So how many years do you think it was that they were without rain in Elijah's time? Any guesses? That's a good guess, Jerry. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So it's sometime in the third year. We know that much from 1 Kings chapter 18. But we have to go to the New Testament to find out the exact time. In both the book of Luke and the book of James, we find out exactly the number of years Elijah stopped rain in Israel. Luke chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, and he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. And again in James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So 3.5 years, Elijah prayed that it would not rain. That is the exact same period of time that the two witnesses will have their ministry in Revelation chapter 11. So that's interesting. And we know from other prophecy that Elijah was prophesied to return in Malachi chapter 4. And I'll read Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So this is the last book in the Old Testament saying that Elijah's to come again. So Elijah had already passed away he's taken up by the Lord, I should say. He never did pass away. Saying that he will return before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. But then we have John the Baptist, and he's associated with Elijah as well. He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Luke chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, speaking to John's father, it says, For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And then in Matthew 11, verses 7 to 15, it says, And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent will take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, perhaps this was an early warning from the Lord that the day of the Lord is coming, and to repent now. The Lord was present. He was currently in his ministry. Perhaps a partial fulfillment or type of the real return of Elijah to come later on, as we perhaps see in Revelation. Or perhaps he was giving the opportunity right then for the Jews to accept Jesus as their Messiah, in which case John the Baptist could still fulfill the Elijah prophecy from Malachi in spirit. Next, we'll take a look at the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. And it starts out with, And after 6 days, this is from Matthew 17, verse 1, And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain. I want you to highlight the 6 days part, because we also know in Scripture from Peter, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. And maybe some people are familiar with this interpretation, but we can look at all of history compared to the week of creation. And it is supposed or proposed by some that we will have 6,000 years of history, 6 days will pass, and then a day of rest, which they compare to the millennial reign of Christ when he is to come. So if that's the case, we're very close this morning. We're just about up at the 6,000 years, roughly. And, you know, just notice what's happening after the 6 days in this story. Because it's comparable to what's going to happen for us as well. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here the three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So the Lord's glory is not to be shared with anyone, and the Father made it very clear to Peter. And Peter probably was just trying to be helpful and just blurted out this. Why did he say tabernacles? Well, we could guess that maybe it was the Feast of Tabernacles was happening at that time, and maybe it was, that's just a thought. But I think he realized his mistake when he heard the Father's voice. If we continue reading in Matthew 17, continuing verse 9, And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So again we have this link here, John the Baptist with Elias. But I wondered why he told them not to tell anyone until after his resurrection. And then I thought maybe perhaps just Elias appearing in the transfiguration would help them realize that this is the time, and God did not want that revealed to them because of their other actions at that time. So we have, but who was there? This was actually Moses and Elijah. In this case, appearing with the Lord, these two men on this Mount of Transfiguration were the actual Moses and Elijah. It wasn't John the Baptist. It was Elijah. There's another example of the Mount of Transfiguration story in Mark chapter 9. And I'm just quickly scanning it to see if there's anything I need to highlight that's different. Otherwise, we'll skip. So, verse 9 of Mark 9, it says, And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one another, what the rising from the dead should mean. So they didn't understand that the Lord was speaking of himself actually dying and actually being resurrected at that time yet. And they asked him, saying, about Elias again. So then we'll get into the other ability that these two witnesses have is this fire coming from their mouth. And you can look in the Old Testament and see which prophets were involved with this fire aspect, this fire from the Lord. And you can find that in 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 5 through 15 about Elijah. And it says, when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, Why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, There came a man up to meet us and said unto us, Go turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, What manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, He was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about of loins. And he said, It is Elijah the Tishbite. So then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill. And he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven, and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven, and consumed him and his 50. This happens a second time. But the third captain was smart, and he fell on his knees before Elijah, besought him, and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven, and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. So Elijah was, he waited for the Lord to tell him, It's safe, go with them. He was obedient unto the Lord. So now I'll introduce another potential candidate for being one of the two witnesses, and that would be Moses, because he also dealt with rain, and he dealt with plagues, and he dealt with turning water into blood, and with fire. So perhaps the Lord would use Moses in this capacity. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 17, And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. So for Moses, he was delivering that warning. I don't believe it came to pass in his lifetime, but he was involved with giving that warning concerning the rain. But he was directly involved when fire happened, and you can find that in Numbers chapter 16, verses 28 to 35, and this is the rebellion of the Korah and those that pertained unto Korah. And Moses said, this is Numbers chapter 16, verse starting at verse 28, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up, with all that appertain to them, unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And here's the fire part, verse 35. And there came out fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And we know the stories of Egypt and the plagues that happened there, and the turning water into blood. Exodus chapter 7, 17 to 20. I'll just skip to verse 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod, and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river turned to blood. And in Revelation 11, it talks about all sorts of plagues that they could use. And we know all the various plagues the Lord used Moses to condemn Egypt with. Maybe the two witnesses that we see in Revelation are associated with some of the previous plagues and events during the first half of the tribulation in Revelation. Just a thought. But they're there for 3.5 years, and through that same time period, that's the seals are being opened and trumpets are beginning to sound. So maybe they are associated with some of those through their warnings and commandments, urgings to repent. Waters did become blood back in Revelation chapter 8, verses 7 to 8. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. But there's a difference between Elijah and Moses in a key way. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, in a chariot of fire. He never saw death. Moses did die. We find that in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, And I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. And it goes on to talk about Joshua the son of Nun raised up in his stead. And Jude only has one chapter, but Jude verse 9, brings a strange point about Moses. Jude verse 9 says, Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. So Jude's just talking about, don't condemn that, let the Lord judge. But he's bringing up an interesting point, an event that happened. So we know that Moses was there at the Mount of Transfiguration. And we're not told, but it appears he has the same form as Elijah, who was also there. And Moses actually was associated with the Elijah prophecy in Malachi chapter 4. He was right there in the verse right before the prophecy about Elijah. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4 says, Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, For the Jews require a sign. What greater sign could there be but that the Lord God brings Moses and Elijah to the Jewish people to convince them to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, we have a potential issue with Moses, because we know that he died in Deuteronomy, and we know that these two witnesses are going to die. So that would mean, if it was Moses, he would have to die twice. Perhaps this witness will be someone coming in the spirit and power of Moses, just like John the Baptist was in the spirit of Elijah. Maybe it's not actually the same exact people. Or is it possible the Lord would allow Moses to die twice and make an exception? I don't know. I'm not going to be emphatic about it. Or perhaps it isn't Moses at all, and he could use Enoch instead, who hasn't seen death yet, just like Elijah. Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I don't think this is something we can or should be dogmatic about. The strongest case for Moses is the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there. He was one of two men with the Lord. And we know that the Lord is represented by that seven-lamped candlestick. And there were two olive trees with him in Zechariah. And there's two olive trees here in Revelation, and they stand before the Lord of the whole earth. And there was two men with him at the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah. So that's a strong argument. And that he was involved. Moses was involved in these signs and wonders and abilities that God is giving the two witnesses in Revelation 11. The strongest case for Enoch is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, all men are appointed once to die. We know that they are mortal men, and we know they were already standing before the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of Nehemiah. Why didn't the Lord say exactly who they are? Well, perhaps he wants us to search the scriptures like we just did this morning. And now I want to just give you a few verses as we come to a close. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Paul is saying, all these stories, all this history that's written about in the Old Testament, they are there for examples for us today. It's just as relevant today, perhaps even more relevant today than it was in the time these things actually happened. And highlight this, the ends of the world are come. They're coming to our generation or soon after us, very, very soon. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. So you can see in Revelation, there's a lot of things that have happened before in the Old Testament in various ways, they're going to happen again. Those are just a preview. This is going to be the real thing. God is at work. Are you living for Him? Are you living consciously aware that we are truly in the last times? Do you know the Lord this morning? Perhaps somebody's listening to this online or on the tape. Come to faith in Jesus Christ before it's too late. Rely on His shed blood for you at the cross of Calvary. If you will take the time to examine your Bible, your King James Bible, there is nothing wrong in the scriptures. Everything has been planned out. Everything is right. God knows the end from the beginning, and He will surely bring to pass what He has said is going to happen. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time of diving into Your Word and to see a lot of different interesting things in Your Scripture. I just pray, Lord, You would encourage us all to be more ready to open the Word each and every day, or more often, Lord, and help us to understand what we read and be able to correlate it to different events and happenings in the Bible and see the patterns that are there in Your Word if we're only willing to look. I just pray Your blessing upon this assembly and each and every one of us, and help us to be more faithful in our walk as You are always faithful to us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I like the backdrop music.